In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Francis of Assisi wanted to convert the Muslims and headed for Syria at the end of 1212. The contrary winds carried the ship to the shores of Dalmatia. From there they returned to Italy. The following year, 1213, he set out for Morocco with his brother Bernard, passing through Santiago de Compostela in Spain, but he became seriously ill and had to return to Italy. On June 24, 1219, Saint Francis of Assisi, with the brother Peter Catani and three more brothers, set out for Egypt to preach to the infidel Muslims. They embarked in Ancona and made their first stop in Cyprus. In mid-July they reached Acre, and a few days later Damietta in Egypt, besieged by the Crusaders for a year. But the Christian army was disunited, and many soldiers led a libertine life. The final assault was going to be on August 29th. When Saint Francis of Assisi heard about the final assault that was going to happen on August 29th, he hurt deep down. And he said to the one who accompanied him, "If the assault takes place on that day, the Lord has given me to understand that it will not be resolved successfully for the Christians. But if I discover this, they will take me for a fool. And if I keep quiet, my conscience will reproach me. Tell me, what do you think?" The companion answered, "Father, do not care about being judged by men, because it's not precisely now that you're going to start being considered foolish. Unload your conscience and fear, rather, God than men." Then the saint runs and confronts the Christians with healthy advice, dissuading them from battle, announcing defeat. The Christians make a mockery of the truth, they hardened their hearts, and did not want to take the warning into consideration. They go into combat and begin. They struggle. Many of our people are quartered by the enemy. During the combat, the saint, with his soul in suspense, makes his companion get up to observe, and since neither the first time nor the second time has he seen anything, he orders him to observe a third time. And he sees there that the entire Christian army is on the run, reporting dishonor instead of triumph of the battle. And such was the disaster of our army that they were greatly reduced, since between the dead and captives they lost 6,000. Therefore, the saint was consumed by the compassion he felt for them, and not least by their repentance for what they had done. And he cried, above all, for the Spaniards, seeing that their courage had destroyed them. After the Christian defeat, Saint Francis of Assisi, accompanied by his brother, set out towards the Sultan, and suddenly two little sheep met him. At whose sight, very joyful, the saint said to his companion, "Trust, brother, in the Lord, because the gospel saying is fulfilled in us. Look, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves." And advancing a little further, they met the Saracen guards, who rushed upon them like wolves upon sheep, and treated the captured servants of God with cruelty and contempt, hurling insults at them, afflicting them with whips, and binding them with chains. Finally, after being ill-treated and tormented in a thousand ways and arranged by divine providence, they were brought to the presence of the Sultan, as the man of God desired. Then the chief asked them who had sent them, what was their objective, with what credentials did they come, and how did they get there? And the servant of Christ, Saint Francis of Assisi, boldly replied that he had been sent not by any man, but by the Most High God himself, to show him and his people the way of salvation, and announce to them the gospel of truth. The Sultan himself wanted to embarrass Saint Francis, and had a beautiful carpet spread out before him, almost completely covered with crosses. And said to those present, "Call that one who seems to be a good Christian, if when he comes to me he steps on the crosses on the carpet, we will tell him that he has insulted his Lord. If he, on the other hand, refuses to step on the carpet, I'll ask him why he refuses to come to me." Saint Francis of Assisi entered without hesitation, and walked across the carpet until he reached the Sultan. The Sultan made Saint Francis observe that he was stepping on the crosses, to which Saint Francis replied, "You must know that with our Lord, two thieves were also crucified. We recognize as the true cross that of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we adore and embrace it with all devotion. The cross of the Lord has been left to us, and the crosses of thieves have been left to you. That is why I have had no problem stepping on the signs of thieves. The Holy Cross does not belong to you. The Sultan made a friendship with Saint Francis of Assisi and invited him to stay with him. Saint Francis replied, "If you and your people resolve to convert to Christ, I will gladly remain for his love in your company." And he proposed a test of fire to which his priests would submit. The Sultan replied, "I do not believe that among my priests there is one who, in order to defend his faith, wants to expose himself to the test of fire, nor that he is willing to suffer any other torment." The Sultan had indeed observed that one of his priests, a man of integrity and advanced in age, as soon as he heard of the matter, disappeared from his presence. Then, the saint made him this proposition. "If in your name and that of your people, you want to promise me that you will convert to Christ if I come out of the fire unharmed, I will enter the stake alone. If the fire consumes me, blame my sins, but if the divine power protects me, you will recognize Christ, strength and wisdom of God, true God and Lord, Savior of all men." The Sultan replied that he did not dare to accept such an option, because he feared an uprising of the people. However, he offered him many valuable gifts, which the man of God, not eager for earthly treasures, but for the salvation of souls, rejected as if they were mud. Seeing in this holy man such a perfect despiser of the goods of the earth, the Sultan greatly admired him, and was attracted to him with greater devotion and affection. And, although he did not want, or perhaps did not dare, to convert to the Christian faith, he devoutly begged the servant of Christ to deign to accept those gifts and distribute them for his salvation among poor Christians or churches. But, Saint Francis of Assisi, who shunned every weight of money and realizing, moreover, that the Sultan was not founded on true piety, absolutely refused to indulge his wish. Seeing that nothing progressed in the conversion of those people and feeling disappointed in the realization of his goal of martyrdom, warned by inspiration from on high, he returned to the Christian countries. Other brothers went to Morocco. The first five brothers who went there to preach were martyred. Their martyrdom was on January 16, 1220. A year later, in 1221, more brothers left again for Morocco with the blessing of Saint Francis of Assisi, and in Ceuta they shed their blood for love of Christ. Saint Francis was everyone's friend. He sought peace among all and loved nature, taking care of animals and plants as a true environmentalist of our times. On one occasion, Saint Francis of Assisi met on the road a man who was going to the market, carrying two lambs tied and hanging on his shoulder to sell them. When Saint Francis of Assisi heard them bleat, he was moved, and approaching, he caressed them like a mother showing her feelings of compassion for her crying son. And Saint Francis asked that man, "Why do you make my brothers suffer by leading them tied and hung like this?" "Because I take them to the market," he replied, "to sell them, because I'm short of money." To this, the saint said, "What will happen after to them?" "Well," he replied, "the buyers will kill them and eat them." "God forbid," the saint reacted. "Do not do such a thing, take this mantle that I carry in exchange for the lambs." Immediately the man gave him the lambs, and very happily he received the mantle, since it was worth much more. The saint had received it that same day, from the hands of one of his friends, to protect himself from the cold. Once with the lambs, he began to think what he would do with them, and, advised by the brother who accompanied him, he decided to give them to the same man to take care of them, with the order that he never sell them, or cause them any harm, but that he conserve, feed and herd them with all care. While he was dwelling for a time in the hermitage of Greccio in Italy, the inhabitants of that place were tormented by many ills. On the one hand, packs of rapacious wolves wreaked great havoc, not only among the animals, but among men themselves. On the other, annually hailstorms devastated the fields and vineyards. Then, the preacher of the Holy Gospel preached to them in the following terms. "To the honor and praise of Almighty God, I assure you that all these calamities will disappear, and that the Lord, return to you, will multiply your temporal goods, if you give belief to my words, you recognize your unfortunate situation and after a sincere confession of your sins, you bear worthy fruits of penance. the inhabitants of Greccio, by following the warnings of the saint, did penance for their sins, and from that day the plagues ceased. The dangers disappeared, and neither the wolves nor the hail caused them any harm. In the province of Rieti, a plague had spread that was so devastating that it was mercilessly destroying all sheep and cattle, to the point that no remedy could be found. But a God-fearing man was warned by a night vision to hasten to the hermitage of the brothers, where Saint Francis was then dwelling, and to take the water in which the servant of God had washed his hands and feet, and spray all the animals with it. Rising early in the morning, he went to that place, and secretly obtaining the water through the companions of the saint, he sprinkled it on the sick sheep and oxen. As soon as the water, even in a small quantity, came to touch the sick and prostrated animals on the ground, they immediately got up, regaining their former vigor, and as if they had suffered no harm, ran to graze in the fields. Thus, it turned out that, by the admirable power of that water that had touched the sacred wounds, the plague ceased completely, and the deadly pestilence fled from the herds.
Many thanks for watching the video. Please also take a moment to enjoy these 99 Catholics videos, which share related content about our faith. And also help to support our channel by becoming a member. Details are in the description box below. May God bless you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.